We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government.
I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
And good Tuesday morning to everyone. And you're saying, well, that's certainly not Jenna. No, Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna today. Jenna off for a few days, and we believe she'll be back tomorrow in the chair. So much going on. Going through the list of stories this morning, and it's hard to know where to start, but certainly our attention continues to be on what's going on in North Carolina. Just put a story on our news website, AFN.net. Supplies arrived by plane and by mule in North Carolina as Helene's death toll tops 130. And by now, I'm sure whether you're on YouTube or watching some of the news stations are out there, you have seen the videos, particularly in the Asheville area of North Carolina. I was telling somebody this morning, I've had the opportunity over the last 2-3 years to go to the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, which is about 15 minutes drive along the I-40 east of Asheville, but I usually stay in Asheville. And so as I've been looking at these videos of downtown old Asheville, those are the streets where I go walk for a walk in the morning and go to the restaurants and the shops. It's such a fascinating area there. And what has happened looking at those pictures is just amazing. You know, I was talking to a friend this morning who happened to be over in Georgia, the Carolinas on the weekend. And one of the things we talked about, when you hear about hurricanes, you always consider the coastal states, for obvious reasons. And not to say that Florida did not get hit hard. There are fatalities there as well. And on up into Georgia. But I don't think anybody expected the impact, particularly on North Carolina. And basically, it was a case of 2 feet of rain in a very short period of time being directed into these rivers and streams that decimated not only Asheville, but several communities. And so, like the headline says, supplies are arriving in areas. I know Samaritan's Purse, which belongs to the Graham organization, they are gearing up for this. I understand that the Cove may be a launching point for Samaritan's Purse operations, but just imagine they're having to use mules to put supplies on the backs of the of these mules to get into areas where the roads are gone. And the people who are guiding the mules are taking chainsaws to make paths into areas, because you've got to remember there are people, some known and some unknown at this point, that are still in some of these areas where they cannot get in. They don't have any water. They don't have any food. Everything is gone. So we have to continue prayers. If the Lord leads you as far as contributing to these relief efforts, there are safe ones, obviously Samaritan's Purse and Red Cross and those that you can give to. And certainly, above all, be praying for these dear folks. It is not only going to be days, it's going to be weeks, it's going to be months, and perhaps even years before some of these communities get back. And yes, we are watching yet another storm that is gearing up in the Caribbean, headed towards the Gulf. Now, they are saying at this moment, that they don't expect this to be another Helene. But we don't know for sure. We just don't know. things like Helene took a turn to the right at the very last moment. They changed course. It's nothing that man can do. You know, it was talking about man. I was reading an Associated Press story yesterday, and of course they had to get into climate change. You know, the climate may be changing, but man has nothing else, no way. They're not involved with it at all. You know, and let me put it this way, highly suspect of some of the figures that are coming out from so-called scientific agencies about, you know, temperatures going up over a long period of time. You know, weather changes over time. But let's focus on these dear folks, still trapped, many of them. Focus on the families who have lost loved ones, as this story from the AP this morning says, at least now 130. And that number is sadly expected to grow because there are so many areas where officials have not been able to get into yet to discover what is going on. You know, one of the saddest things that I saw in a video this morning was a coffin that was floating down one of these rivers. You know, the body of a loved one. And those are the kinds of scenes that we're going to continue to see. So be praying for these dear folks in Asheville and some of these other communities that have been just decimated by this flooding. And whatever you can do to help, beyond praying, whatever the Lord leads you to do. All right. 8 Days of Hope is also going to be involved with this, a ministry that we're very familiar with as well. And so your contributions, your prayers for even, you know, the folks who are working in these rescue teams, the folks that will be going in to help out, this can be very dangerous at this point because it's going to take a while for these areas. And they get in and they're facing, you know, trees that are still kind of dangling there and areas that are still, you know, the mud and all of that sort of thing. So be very careful, folks. If you're going to be part of the volunteers that are going out with these agencies, be very careful, but also remember them in prayer. And as I say, if you can help out financially. All right. One of the other big stories today is the much anticipated, now talked about, vice presidential debates tonight between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz. And I tell you what, you know, we're still remembering the debate involving Donald Trump and Vice President Harris just about 3-4 weeks ago. And what happened in that debate? It was run by ABC, and the fact checking that was done by ABC only against Donald Trump and Harris. Well, perhaps in a little bit of good news prior to this, CBS agreed on Friday that there will be no fact-checking of either of Vance or Walz. And they said they would leave it up to the candidates to do that. But, you know, I'm even suspect of that in a way, and here's why. Because CBS is just about as liberal as ABC. And they can find certain questions for Vance and go very soft in their questioning of Walz. So we'll all be watching for that this evening. Republican Congressman Tom Emmer from Minneapolis has gave his assessment of Tim Walz. He knows Tim Walz really well, and he has given his pre-debate assessment of Walz. Cut number one.
Walz plays the part of this folksy, ag-friendly outdoorsman when you first meet him, and he's got these smiles. He's likable until you start to get to know Tim Walz and his policies. He wants to give illegals free health care, free college, signed a bill to give them driver's licenses this year, which now we got to watch that in the voting process.
Yeah, Tim Walz, and we've done stories on this, and we've been talking about it on our talk programs, that he is far left. His military record certainly in question. What he's done as governor, the people that he has put in very powerful positions with regards to education, all of these sorts of things. So he has a record, and I think that's something that J.D. Vance is certainly going to be honing in on this evening. You know, I talked about CBS being just about as bad as NBC and ABC. I wanted to play you a little bit of a montage of a demonstration of the kind of bias that CBS has already demonstrated during the campaign. And what you're going to hear is a little Q&A that went on between a CBS anchor and J.D. Vance. And you're going to hear a little bit between Donald Trump. This is an interview going back a few years ago, and I think it was Leslie Stahl. And just so you can get a taste of the attitude of CBS, and perhaps we should be expecting the same attitude to flow when these CBS questioners tonight are giving their questions to J.D. Vance. All right, let's play a little bit of that. Cut number five.
We know that the media seems totally uninterested in fact-checking Joe Biden from any of the number of false claims that he made.
You know, I've lost track, sir. I've been told the media's on every single side of this and everything's our fault. But let's get back to the candidate you're here to talk about.
It's a very important issue to find out whether or not a man's corrupt who's running for president, who's accepted money from China and from Ukraine and from Russia. Take a look at what's going on, Leslie. And then you say that shouldn't be discussed. I think it's this. I think it's one of the biggest scandals I've ever seen. And you don't cover it. Biggest. You want to talk about...
Well, because it can't be verified.
You want to talk about insignificant things.
I'm telling you.
Of course it can be verified. Excuse me. They found the laptop. Leslie.
It can't be verified.
When I hear people say, you know, I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris because she's a black woman, she is so much more than that. She is so uniquely qualified to be president of this country.
Yeah, that was a little bit at the end there. That was a CBS commentator during the Democrat convention. And just before that, that was Leslie Stahl, as I mentioned, talking to Donald Trump in 2020. You will remember, going back to that, the mainstream media refused to acknowledge the credibility of the laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop. They didn't want to even acknowledge that it existed and there were data on there that proved everything that Donald Trump was saying. You heard Leslie Stahl there. I really don't want it. It hasn't been verified. They didn't want it verified. And of course, it wasn't only CBS and NBC and ABC. It was CNN. It was the, social media and all of those. And guess what? We've come a long way since 2020. And everything that Donald Trump was saying about that laptop has turned out to be true. So, I'm sure Jenna tomorrow morning will have lots to say about the debate. I'm sure it's going to have quite an audience this evening. Adam, my producer, we still have a couple of minutes, do we? Yes. Want to talk about the other big story, because the thousands of dock workers that were threatening strikes at ports from Maine to Texas of going on strike, they have gone on strike this morning. And, one of the big aspects of this story, folks, is what these dock workers are asking for. Some of them are already making $300,000 a year. Their union is asking for a 77% increase in wages. The Association of Ports apparently has offered them 50% over 6 years. But no, they've decided to go on strike. You know, it was really interesting this morning. Chris Spears is the president of the American Trucking Association. And rightly so, I believe he's talking about the union greed here. Cut number seven.
This is the worst time to have 36 ports shut down our economy. So if you're really, looking out for regular Americans, look out for the people that are digging out their communities in North Carolina, not looking at the wealthiest pay package that any union in the country has. We've heard about corporate greed. This is union greed. Just to illustrate what greed really is here, you've got six-figure salaries in this union. You've got workers, including crane operators, making over $300,000. Now, a 77% pay increase, they're over $500,000. So if you're that person down in the Southeast digging their community out of the mud, you really think they care about somebody whining about getting $500,000 a year?
Yeah. So we're going to see what's going to happen here. Will the Biden administration intervene? How could this strike impact you? Somebody was saying this morning, certainly bananas, but you cannot go into a store and get a month's worth of bananas without them going back. But there's a lot of other stuff, folks. Ingredients from other countries that comes in aboard these ships and that go into some of the products that you and I buy at the grocery store, other products, that'll be impacted by this. But can you imagine? Some people making $300,000 a year and they're asking for 77% more. I'll tell you what. All right, there is much more in the news. We're going to be going up to Washington in a few minutes to talk to our good friend Gary Bauer about the debate.
If ending babies' lives in their mother's womb isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the Democrats' vice presidential nominee, Tim Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you are pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds is $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a full day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR, preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And indeed, we are back. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna this morning. You know, we've been talking about all the news that's going on out there. And certainly on the political front, the debate tonight between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, the vice presidential candidates. It's going to be high on your priority today. It's being hosted by CBS in New York. And joining us right now to perhaps give his opinions on what to expect is our good friend Gary Bauer of Campaign for Working Families. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Fred. Good to be with you, as always.
Hey, listen, so let's say you get a call from J.D. Vance this morning. What's your recommendations to him?
Don't hold anything back, J.D. You're debating a very leftist guy. I mean, a guy that fell in love with communist China early in his life, honeymoon there with his wife, took American students there for as part of a program that communist China was running to influence American youth. This guy is an extremist, and it's interesting that this is one of the first and most important decisions Kamala Harris made. It wasn't a decision to move to the middle. It was a decision to move further left. So, you know, I think J.D. can do very well tonight, and I'm encouraged by the news that Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, who, by the way, ought to be at his desk helping to run the relief effort for suffering Americans throughout the American Southeast. He's been spending the last 3 or 4 days in upstate Michigan helping get Governor Walz ready for the debate tonight.
Mm. What's your expectation of the CBS anchors? We saw the disaster in the Trump-Harris debate with ABC all in with Harris. Easy questions to her, fact-checking Donald Trump. Now, as I mentioned a few moments ago, CBS has said they will not be fact-checking. But you know what? I still don't trust them, Gary, because of the kinds of questions that they can pose to the two different candidates.
Fred, you're a wise man. You are exactly right. There are so many ways to rig a debate. And I think that after this cycle, if we still have freedom in this country and there is another election and other debates, I hope that the Republican Party will rethink how and what conditions they will agree to those debates. You know, we've seen this phenomena where the liberal media will ask one of our candidates something to the equivalent of, when did you stop beating your wife? And the candidate would go, wait a minute, I never beaten my wife. Where did you come up with that? Well, there are reporters. That's outrageous. No, I didn't do that. Then they turn to the Democrat and say, what do you think about so-and-so's denials about when he stopped beating his wife? I mean, you can guarantee that no questions will be asked tonight, in my view, that will put Walz in a difficult position. They're not going to ask him about his involvement in communist China and some of the other radical positions he's taken. But they will come up with everything they can that would be challenging for J.D. Vance. Senator Vance, you said a bunch of bad things about Donald Trump in the past. Let us read you some of them, and then they'll read them. You know, how and why did you change your mind? Was it just ambition? You know, so there's lots of ways you can make the debate tilt one direction or the other.
Well, we'll be watching tonight, and I agree with you. I think we ought to go into, as conservatives, with an expectation that J.D. Vance is not going to be. And I'm quite sure, Gary, that he has been in his practicing for this debate. I would at least hope that who's ever been posing questions to him in these practices has played the role of the left-wing media and all of these. So he's a smart guy, so I think he's going to be ready for that. So it should be a very interesting evening. Gary, speaking of left-wing media, news broke overnight that billionaire left-winger George Soros has succeeded with the help of the three Democrats on the Federal Communications Commission, who have now awarded Soros a license to operate 200 radio stations across this country. Apparently, they're bypassing, Gary, they're bypassing any kind of hearings, and they've just awarded this to George Soros. Your thoughts?
Fred, every day we get another example of how the other side is playing for keeps. They're playing an entirely different game, even today, than most Republican senators, for example, are playing. The left is out to literally never lose another election, not because the power of their ideas are so good, but they are so tilting the playing field that it will become virtually impossible for us to prevail. Radio is one of the few areas where there's still pretty good conservative and Christian representation. But this rule on how many radio stations can be under the control of one individual is there for a purpose. It's to prevent the concentration of power in a particular interest or a particular ideology. They don't care. That, in fact, that's why they're doing it. If they could, they would shut down Fox News right now. But they know they're not quite at the point where they can do that. They've tried to limit free speech. I believe, Elon Musk said this the other day, if we lose this election, free speech in America will probably literally be gone before the next 4 years are over. And you can see it in the things that Walz himself said. You know, free speech isn't, you know, just a complete right. You know, it's, there can be and should be limitations. John Kerry over the weekend said the First Amendment is preventing the government from being able to lead people in the direction we want to take them. It does. That's what the reason the founders gave it to us. So, Fred, I sound probably a little frustrated and animated for this early in the morning, but I think the next time I run into a pastor that says, Gary, I'm just not interested in politics, I'm literally going to punch him in the nose.
There you go, pastors in Virginia. Be careful what you say to Gary Power.
I'm joking, of course, I just hope that everybody realizes that, you know, whether you're interested in politics and government or not, government is interested in you. And big government was not nice to Jesus, and big government will be and is not nice to us.
Yeah.
So every right we have, every right that's been sacrificed for with literally the blood of American heroes is now in jeopardy. And if we don't rise to the occasion now, we will condemn our own children and grandchildren to lesser lives.
You know, Gary, to your point, we should have learned our lesson from all the restrictions and the bias that was put in place during COVID. What social media did, what the mainstream media did to, you know, alternatives. You had, yes. I'm glad you mentioned John Kerry, because I was even shocked at that during the weekend that, you know, the First Amendment interfering with a government agenda. Does this man, yeah. You know, it seems sometimes, Gary, that, I want to be careful what I say, but unfortunately, there are a lot of useful idiots out there that agree with John Kerry, that they think, you know, that the First Amendment is wrong and not to be shut down. And if anybody thinks we're exaggerating here, folks, just look at what's going on our university campuses around this country.
Yeah, Fred, you're absolutely right. You know, wasn't that many years ago where a university at Berkeley was sort of the center of the intellectual movement of the left? You know, in fact, there was a big free speech movement at Berkeley, and that spread to universities all over the country. The left today is the exact opposite. They are trying to shut down free speech. It's interesting that, you know, to see somebody like Robert F. Kennedy and others that have come in toward us saying the Democratic Party used to be the party of free speech and peace. Mm-hmm. Now they've become the party that attacks free speech, and they seem to want war, particularly if it's against Russia. So there's been a tremendous shift in American politics, and I'd give anything for a Democrat Party that was run by JFK liberals. I didn't agree with them on everything, but at least they were fellow Americans and we shared, you know, basic core values. Mm. Not anymore.
Yeah, I know it. Gary, we're kind of running out of time before we have another break, but I wanted to get your comments on the developments also overnight. Israel now moving ground troops into southern Lebanon. I want to play you... President Biden was asked about this yesterday, and I want to play for you his response to this. Cut number two.
Well, just the fact that Israel may be now launching a limited operation into Lebanon. Are you aware of that? Are you comfortable with their plans?
I'm more aware than you might know, and I'm comfortable with them stopping. We should have a ceasefire now.
Gary, his answer to the terrorists attacking Israel over and over and over again, oh, let's have a ceasefire. You know, Gary, the battles could be over if these terrorist groups surrendered, but they're not interested in surrender because their real goal is to destroy Israel.
Yes, I mean, it's pitiful. To hear that, to hear that answer is pitiful. You would expect an American president to say, I'm proud of the fact that behind the scenes, we helped in this. Nasrallah has the blood of American soldiers on his hands, and the world's a better place now that he's gone. And we hope Israel will finish the job. That would be a normal response of an American president. This is kind of interesting, Fred, that Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel right now are the leaders of the free world. They're showing the rest of the free world what you do if you're in a war. You fight it to win, not to, you know, nation build or, you know, find common ground or what can we give you to make you back off. It's inspirational to see what he's doing. It was inspirational to hear his speech to the United Nations. And the world will be a lot better off if he remains as prime minister and we have a new president of the United States.
So, Gary, what do you think the goal of the Biden administration is as far as Israel goes? What is their goal?
I think that the Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration, their main goal is a two-state solution, but the two states are Minnesota and Michigan. They want to get the Arab American vote in those two states, and they can't show anything that sounds like they're on Israel's side because they're afraid that those voters will stay home in Michigan and Minnesota and Donald Trump becomes president. Beyond that, there's a larger goal, a larger plan here. They actually think, just like Obama did, that Iran will be the predominant power in the Middle East, that it can't possibly be Israel, that Iran's got the population and all the rest of it, and they want to have a cozy relationship with Iran, and they want Israel put in its place.
You know, Gary, sometimes I just wonder this administration, how do you describe it? Because you look at what their stance is in the Middle East, but also we're learning how many criminal illegal aliens have entered this country. Thousands, and many of them in the last 3 or 4 years. Does the Biden administration, are they naive to believe that these people aren't going to create chaos in this country? Or are they okay with that kind of chaos and jeopardizing the lives of innocent Americans?
Yeah, this is one of those things where you think certain things to answer your question, and then you start self-censoring, like, really, do I want to say that? Let me say exactly what I believe. I think, number one, they wanted this mass influx because they see them, these people coming in, as future Democrat voters. They know they cannot win the argument with native-born Americans of all races and legal immigrants, so they've got to bring in a new electorate. And we'll find out in the months ahead that some of these people have managed to get registered to vote, and that will be another scandal. But I think there's a second reason, Fred. I think they're really not bothered that much by the chaos and disorder and unsafe streets, because they can use it as an excuse to grow government power. And it's an old tactic. You cause chaos, and then you tell people they're going to have to give up some liberty in order for you to be able to restore order. And then finally, Fred, all these hurting Americans right now, couple million people still without power. They are not being treated as well by our government as illegal migrants are. Illegal migrants cross into this country, and within 48 hours, they got free health care, free food, a free cell phone, and they're on a plane being flown to a U.S. city where they'll be put up in a hotel in rooms paid for by the taxpayer. Meanwhile, 2 million American citizens are suffering in the southeast of the United States. And our president is AWOL, the vice president's AWOL, and the secretary of transportation, Buttigieg, is spending his time getting the vice presidential Democrat candidate ready for the debate tonight.
Great assessment, Gary. Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Where can folks get your end-of-day report?
They can go to CWFPAC, like PAC.com.
All right, Gary, thanks so much. We appreciate your thoughts on this, and be watching the debate tonight. We want to be talking to you tomorrow.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning for a Tuesday. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna today. Wow, what a busy, busy, busy news day. You know, we just talked with Gary Bauer a few moments ago, and one of the things he mentioned, John Kerry, former Secretary of State, a guy who wanted to be president at one time, that outrageous statement that he made. that our First Amendment can jeopardize the agenda of the government. I'm paraphrasing there. Can you imagine? He's a guy, he wanted to be president. He was Secretary of State. He's now the, climate czar, I think. But a government official at that level condemning the First Amendment. And as Gary was pointing out, it seems more and more on the left, their next target is to take your right, my right away to express our opinions when those opinions disagree with the government of the day. And they want to be the only government of the day forever, as many, many people have pointed out. And our reporter, Chris Woodward, from American Family News, deals a lot with the legal challenges that are going on out there today that often surround our First Amendment rights. And Chris joins us on the line right now. Good morning, Chris.
Hello from the AFN mobile studio.
wherever you are out there today. Hey, listen, Chris, you've got a number of stories that you're working on, but I was fascinated on the story about the Babylon Bee. It's political satire. If you're on Instagram, you see a lot of that when you start, of course, watching it, political satire out there. But there are laws being passed in California, Governor Newsom out there, that want to restrict even political satire when it's, he deems, too critical of a certain politician of a certain persuasion.
Correct. Yes. There's a couple of laws in California, too, in fact, that Governor Newsom recently signed into law that are censorship laws that, according to the government, prevent somebody from saying or doing something that would hurt someone's election chances. That's how it's being worded. And the Babylon Bee has lawyered up. They went with Alliance Defending Freedom, well-known and very successful in court law firm based out of Arizona. ADF is also representing someone that does a lot of political engagement with memes and things like that in this case. That story is in our news today, so do check us out on radio and web. But as they point out, this is not just the case for the Babylon Bee. It's a case for everybody that might do or say something online, especially with memes. Those are kind of a popular thing, have been for a while. And California is acting as if political satire is something new. I mean, people have been doing political cartoons long before California became a state. So I don't know why all of a sudden they have a problem with it in 2024. But we'll see how this case goes with ADF, which, again, has a very good track record of winning in court.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, if they're going to regard political satire as a threat, then what does that say to organizations like American Family Radio, where we offer an opposing opinion to the far left quite often? That's why we have a news service make sure both sides of a story are heard. But it seems, and as I mentioned when we were talking with Gary Bauer, Chris, a few moments ago, we certainly saw this in spades during COVID, when media was blocking anyone who suggested certain treatments outside of the mainstream media. When anybody criticized the president for insisting, get the shot because you'll protect yourself and protect others, we now know scientifically that was not true.
Correct.
So, you know, Gary Bauer was saying, and somewhat jokingly, that pastors who say, you know, we ought not to be involved politically, well, we better be, because, you know, if anybody thinks the left isn't going to even go after pastors and their podcasts who might express a different opinion, then they need to be aware. And Chris, this is why one of the reasons American Family News, American Family Radio exists, because we're warning people about the real agenda here.
Yes, and that's one of the things that people need to take away. This is not just a case about the Babylon Bee not being able to do satirical articles or make memes. Anytime you allow the government to go down this road, you're allowing this government or a future government to build upon it, and oftentimes they point back to, let's say it's another governor 4 years from now in California. That governor would be able to say, well, Newsom signed this into law back in 2024 and nobody had a problem with it, so I should be able to do the same, building upon what the people of California have allowed through their legislature. Anytime you allow the government an inch, they're going to take the circumference of the earth, which, you know, California today, your state tomorrow, that's another thing. People don't realize that what starts in California spills over into Arizona and eventually maybe Illinois and then Massachusetts, and it's a lead story on AFN.net.
You're working on another story. It involves the Southeastern Legal Foundation, and this is viewpoint discrimination on campuses, I believe.
Yes. This is a case that involves two entities, Turning Point USA and Riley Gaines. Now, Turning Point USA is the only conservative student organization on campus at the University of New Mexico. And a ways back, they wanted Riley Gaines to come on and talk about issues involving females and safe spaces and dudes and women's sports, that kind of thing. Well, the University of New Mexico told the Turning Point USA chapter on campus, hey, if you're going to do this, it's going to cost you $10,000. And Turning Point USA doesn't have that kind of money for, you know, to invite Riley Gaines on. And all they wanted her to do was say pretty much what we've aired her saying on AFN or what you've seen her on Fox and Friends talking about. And they filed a complaint. They got the school to come down, but they only came down to about $6,000, and they were told that was to pay for all of the campus law enforcement officers to be there just for Riley Gaines speaking. They were so worried about it that it was going to cause such unrest. They wanted all the police there, and they wanted Turning Point USA to pay for it. Well, Turning Point USA got in touch with Southeastern Legal Foundation. There's an attorney there who heads that organization called Kimberly Herman, and they went to court over that, and recently they got what's called a preliminary injunction preventing the University of New Mexico from enforcing this policy while a lawsuit from Turning Point USA / Riley Gaines plays out in court. These are important cases because a number of campuses have been doing this kind of thing to Turning Point USA and other chapters for wanting to do virtually the same things people are doing on a number of campuses. And what's really interesting here, Kimberly Herman points this out in today's story, this same university allowed a drag queen story hour to take place on campus with virtually no police or security fees involved. So it's a case of viewpoint discrimination because you're forcing one group, one side, to do this and that and jump through all these hoops, whereas you're allowing all these lefties to do all these leftist things at no charge.
Yeah, so let's be very clear about this, Chris, so our folks understand. So they're not saying that, in this case, Riley Gaines cannot speak on campus, but what they're doing is raising the price of security they say is necessary, and that's a whole other story. Why is so much security necessary? We thought campuses were supposed to be bastions of free speech. Anyway, So what they do with conservative groups is that they say we need all kinds of security because people like Riley Gaines, they're so controversial in what they're saying. You know, they want to keep men who say they're girls out of girls' sports. That's become controversial, apparently. But so they jack up the security costs and charge that group, and the group say, they don't have that kind of money. So it is viewpoint discrimination by the back door, if you want to call it.
It is. And they're going to say, well, you know, we're here to protect Riley, but really, Riley isn't the one that causes problems. It's the people that don't want anything to do with her that come onto campus and cause problems. You remember what happened last year, maybe in 2022, when she spoke at a school in San Francisco, and she basically had to go hide in a closet because there was a gang there that didn't want her on campus, didn't want her to speak, and then they decided they were going to hold her for ransom, wouldn't let her out of the closet. They hide behind those kinds of excuses and say, well, this is going to cause some unrest, and we're here to protect everybody, when truth be told, they need to tell the hooligans to chill out. This is free speech. We can't discriminate on viewpoint, regardless of what you say or think. That's the problem with the left. They only have an issue with viewpoint discrimination when it's them. But whereas when it's conservatives, they will find a way and work together. They'll work with their allies in media to make people believe that Riley Gaines is the quote-unquote oppressor or the bad girl, and therefore we can't have her on campus. And that's why it's important that people get their news it's important that people really pay attention to where they get their information, because I'm sure CNN, if they even covered the story, did something to sort of victimize the students that didn't want Riley Gaines there, whereas we're covering the actual issue here.
Yeah, speaking of Riley Gaines, the Alliance Defending Freedom is involved in another case, and this is a case of female athletes who are asking the 11th Circuit to protect fairness and safety at school. Tell us about that.
Yes, a number of states are at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in a case that involves a challenge, another challenge, one of several, to the Biden-Harris administration's changes to Title IX. So let's go back a little bit here. Title IX was started in the 70s to protect women, females, particularly athletes and students on campus. It was to provide them a sports venue, and it was to provide them a place to use the restroom, go to the locker room, that kind of thing. The Biden-Harris administration, as of this past August, wanted all the schools, including colleges, to change their rules to allow for men that identify as women to be able to compete in sports or use bathrooms and locker rooms for females, that kind of thing. So a lot of states and people like Riley Gaines have been going to court over this issue, and this is the latest chapter. The reason why it's very interesting to watch here, number one, anything that's federal, regardless of whether it's the circuit you live in, but anything that's federal can and will be used against your state in a court if these kinds of things pop up in the circuit where you live. What makes this even more interesting is that virtually everybody that has challenged the Biden-Harris administration's Title IX changes has won. And the states suing here in the 11th Circuit are going to be able to use all the arguments and all the opinions that led to their successful decisions in this particular case. Therefore, it is highly unlikely that the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is sort of center-right, is probably going to rule in favor of these states, which would be another win for the people challenging Biden-Harris's illogical changes to Title IX.
You know, Chris, this is another case where you have to shake your head and say, are we really having to go to court to protect women's sports against men who simply have to declare, I feel like a woman? This is something that ought to bring all women together in this country, whether they're, you know, left in their politics or right, because it involves the safety of your daughters.
Yes. Yeah. Number one, we shouldn't have to go to court for these kinds of things. Again, Title IX was set in stone for decades before lefties decided they wanted to change it. But a number of, you know, people have asked, where are the feminists here? And that's a good point and a question to raise. The only feminist group I'm aware of that has cried foul here is an organization called Women's Liberation Front. But by and large, a lot of the ladies who led to things like Title IX becoming reality have been silent on this issue, and that's a shame.
Yeah, all because of politics. And as I say, they're willing to jeopardize the safety of their daughters. And, you know, this ought to be a huge election issue. And I've said this before. You ought to be asking folks, candidates, where they stand on this issue. And once again, Chris, it seems like American Family News is one of those places where you're going to get the whole truth on this.
Yes. And another thing to point out, too, all these judges that have decided cases like the Title IX changes have been put in power by presidents, which makes elections all that much more important. You know, we're not just picking a president this November. We're picking the person that's going to potentially pick the next justice or judge on these courts that hear these kinds of cases.
Which is probably why Religious Liberty Law Firm is launching this $2 million ad blitz warning against court reform schemes.
Yes, that would be First Liberty Institute. $2 million, TV and digital media ad campaigns. You might have seen these ads on channels like Fox News Channel, Newsmax, The Blaze TV, thank you. First Liberty is behind this. They've aired a couple of spots already. We've done one story. We'll probably have another one coming featuring some of the audio here. But for people that are not aware, the Biden-Harris administration is open to the idea of what's called court packing, which involves adding justices to the Supreme Court. First Liberty says that's a really bad idea. Other countries have tried to do this before, and it never works out.
Chris Woodward, one of our great reporters at American Family Radio News. Thank you so much, for Chris.
Thank you.
We'll be talking to you again soon. Hey, listen, folks. I know it's been said before, over and over again, you know, this election is a critical election, but this election really is, because it's another cornerstone that's going to decide where the country is going. And for people to say, well, it doesn't affect me, it does affect you. Free speech, the safety of your daughters, all of these things are in jeopardy, and you have to decide, you have to be informed. Great to be with you today. Lord willing, we'll see you again real soon. Hopefully, Jenna will be back in the chair tomorrow morning. More great programming here on American Family Radio all day long.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.